So estrogen is a wonderful drug or a wonderful hormone. It actually protects women from heart disease. And I'm not just saying that because I'm a woman. It's the reason why women present at a later age than men is because of that protective effect of estrogen. So you'll find that if you look at statistics, men tend to start developing heart attacks and cardiovascular disease around their 40s, and women tend to develop it around 10 years after that. And it's because they start going through menopause in their late 40s, early 50s, and then they start to catch up as far as developing cholesterol plaque-related disease. So when you start getting into the 50s and mid to late 50s is when we start to see heart disease developing in women. If you have risk factors for heart disease, so the diabetes, the high blood pressure, all the things that are related to metabolic syndrome and obesity and unhealthy lifestyles, then your development of heart disease can be accelerated. So if you, for instance, are a type 1 diabetic, type 1 diabetes is the type of diabetes that develops in youth, juvenile onset diabetes. So you could have been diabetic from the time you were 4 years old. So type 1 diabetics develop heart disease significantly earlier than the average population. So, if you are a woman and type 1 diabetic, then that protective of effect of estrogen may not be there because diabetes has accelerated that heart disease. But if you don't have those risk factors, if your blood pressure is normal, your cholesterol is normal, your blood sugars are normal, then we start seeing that development of cholesterol plaque being laid down in the blood vessels in the 50s and 60s. So for women, that's why we start seeing this at that age. So Cecily said she was 1 year, well, she was approaching her 60th birthday. So that is about, right on track for a woman starting to develop heart problems. Men, it's
So
a
this,
bit earlier.
yeah, so this is definitely a wake-up call for those women who might be becoming the empty nesters at this point in time. Your children are off. So, that clarion call for you to start looking out for your health, making sure that you go and get your test done. Sometimes I think it sounds a bit cold sometimes where people are talking about cost. And we understand the economics of health, that you do have to pay for some things and some things you can't afford. And I remember mentioning to someone, but how much does a coffin cost? And they were rude enough to tell me that they're not the one that has to pay for it. So, anywho, we are going to take a word from our sponsors, AA Lackey, and then we'll get back to Miss King. I have a question for you.
Thank you so much, Dr. Boyce. You're listening to the Better Health Radio Show, of course, presented to you by Dr. Renee Boyce, and she has some guests she's going to take you through to 7 o'clock with. And this evening, our tip, the AA Lackey tip, of course, coming to you the kind compliments of AA Lackeys, which Dr. Boyce will present to you.
Salt. This tasty condiment certainly adds flavor to your foods, but its usage has been linked to the development of hypertension or high blood pressure. The FDA recommends that you limit your salt intake to get this 1 teaspoon per day. Yes, I said 1 teaspoon per day. Look out for hidden salt in bottled seasonings, seasoning cubes, packaged snacks, and cured meats. Reduce your salt intake and help to lower your blood pressure.
Well, there you go. That's the Better Health Radio Show tip for today, brought to you the kind compliments of AA Lackeys.
Improve your quality of life with AA Lackeys Home Healthcare Solutions. Where comfort, mobility, orthopedic, respiratory, diagnostic, safety, home healthcare made easy. Manage your wellness with expert care from Home Healthcare Solutions.
Come to AA Lackeys at Legends Mall for all of your home healthcare needs.
Home Healthcare Solutions.
Well, let's continue now with the Better Health Radio Show with Dr. Boyce and her guests.
Welcome back to you, our listeners. We are in this evening, we're discussing in our last heart-to-heart conversations with Cicely Spencer Cross, Jacqueline King, and Drs. Don Scantlebury and Soyombo, we are talking all about heart disease in women. It happened to be two women this evening. And here on the show, part of our mandate or what we want to do is to educate persons. But another thing that we really like to have on the show is experience, so that persons who are listening to the show get a glimpse into the lives of our guests. So, Ms. King, if you could take us back to that day when all of this happened, what were some of the thoughts going through your head? Any fears that you might have had at that point in time? Any concerns? What was going through your mind? Were your thoughts racing, or were you as calm as the River Nile?
Well, on that day, once the ECG showed it was abnormal, I was in total shock because I just felt it was a normal reflux asthmatic type of thing. But then having an abnormal ECG was really not comforting. Well, thankfully for me, or luckily for me, with medical insurance, I was able to assign it to have my to have the hospital care taken care of. So immediately I was admitted. I stood in the hospital for 4 days, having various tests run. And the final diagnosis was small vessel disease. I am a person who is very real. So you give me something, I have to work with it. So once I knew what my risk was, it's like, well, Lord, I am in your hands. You know, I know the doctors will do the best they can, but let your will be done. And I more or less made sure, and Dr. Scantlebury will probably tell you this, once I knew what the risk was, I said, well, let me speak to my attorney. Let me make sure my will is in order. Let me make sure all my life insurance products are paid up for, because I am hoping to live. But should I die, this will be the result. So, I mean, it is not comforting, but it's how you choose to deal with it. And, you know, just ask God to guide you, to protect you. I basically just left my life in his hand. The morning I was about to do the angiogram, which was a matter of life and death. So that's how I felt about it.
Understood. I can only imagine being on the side of healthcare where you're a healthcare provider. It's completely different being on the side where you are a recipient of healthcare, and you realize that life really is a mere vapor. You're here today and you are gone tomorrow. So you just mentioned something very interesting there, Jacqueline. Dawn, let's talk a little bit about angiograms. And then get ready, Dr. Soyombo, because I want to ask you a question about prevention and doing better than we are doing currently. So let's talk about angiograms a bit.
An angiogram is a dye study of the blood vessels that supply the muscle of the heart. Well, actually, angio meaning blood vessel. It could be a dye study of any blood vessel in a body, actually. But a coronary angiogram is the study of the coronary arteries. The coronary arteries are the vessels that run along the outside of the heart to give the heart oxygen and nutrients. There are different ways of doing angiography. There's non-invasive angiography via CAT scan, and then there's invasive angiography via what we call, well, cardiac catheterization, where we put a catheter through one of your peripheral arteries. A catheter is a long tube made of different braided plastic-like materials. We go through either the artery in the wrist or the artery at the top of the leg, and we thread it all the way up to the heart. and inject IV dye into the blood vessels that supply the muscle of the heart. The choice of doing a CT angiogram versus an invasive angiogram depends on what we intend to do. So if we think that the person is lower risk for heart disease and we just want to define what the blood vessels look like, we sometimes do choose to do a CT. But in anyone with significant risk factors and we think that we have to go on and do angioplasty, then we do invasive testing. Angioplasty is a procedure where we open up a blockage in a blood vessel through the use of catheters, balloon catheters, and at that time we can also put in devices like a stent. A stent, S-T-E-N-T, is a mesh tube that we place in a vessel to keep the blood vessel open at the time of a heart attack or to relieve angina.
Okay, so just before we move on, could you tell us some of the complications of a procedure such as a coronary angiogram?
It is an invasive procedure. We are breaking the integrity of the skin. So bleeding, of course, if we are going into a blood vessel, we can damage the blood vessel. When we have our catheter up near the heart, there is a very, very small likelihood of causing damage to the heart blood vessels and causing a heart attack. Often by itself, you know, they're trying to abort a heart attack, but there is that small risk of causing a heart attack or a stroke if a plaque breaks off and go to the brain. When I consent patients for this procedure, I'm very upfront and tell them all of these things. But obviously, the reason why we're doing this is to make a diagnosis and to decrease the possibility of death. So I'm not going to recommend doing a procedure like this unless the risk is far outweighed by the benefit. So the benefit is a lot higher than the risk. In general, when I quote percentages, the risk of something bad happening, like a heart attack or stroke or something, is less than 0.5%. But obviously, it's still more than 0%. So I still have to talk about that. The reason why we do an angiogram in the setting of, say, a heart attack or angina is to show us where that blockage is. And of course, like Dr. Soyombo was explaining, if you're in a center that is able to do acute angiography and angioplasty, primarily for a heart attack. We try to get you in and relieve that blockage, open up that block to restore blood supply to the heart muscle downstream, to reduce the risk of mortality, that is dying, or to reduce the risk of complications. So we won't do it unless there's a good reason.
Yes, and on that note, I will confess to the entire listening public that I asked Dr. Scandalberg if I could get my coronary arteries looked at just to see, I'm confessing, just to see if everything there was clear, and she pretty much told me no for the reasons that she would have just explained. So thank you for the wise counsel, Dr. Scantleberry.
Always have to look at that risk-benefit ratio. We're not just going to do a test for the sake of doing a test.
Yeah, I was just misguided. Cicely, I want to ask you the same question that I asked Jacqueline just a little while ago.
Mm-hmm.
What were the thoughts going through your mind after you realized that this heart-wrenching, sorry for the pun, but this heart-wrenching pain was not gas? What were you thinking? Did you have that proverbial, you know, flash of your life before your eyes?
No, I never, actually, I always tell people I never thought of death. Death was never part of the equation. All I knew, I had a pain. If you have a headache, you take two Panadols and it goes away. So that's how I felt. I had this pain, I'm going to the hospital, I might get an injection, whatever it was. So when my friends came to see me in the accident and emergency, and I was in the stats room, and they were all crying, and I said, stop it. I'm getting out of here. Because I thought that, you know, you have a pain and it's going to go away. I think the reality hit me when I was in the stats room. And, you know, you talk about getting that that medicine to clear the blockages. So I had to get these injections and I had to sign for it. I have no glasses on. I can't see what I'm signing. And, you know, I had to get these injections and they left my skin with all these black and blue marks. And then I realized the severity of the situation. Yeah. Because then I'm hooked up to machines and it's taking my blood pressure like every 10 minutes. And I think being in the hospital and surrounded by all the noises of casualty and, you know, I realized how sick I was. And then when I heard I had to have the open heart surgery, you know, almost a couple months later, you know, I realized that I am a cardiac patient, you know. That was my reality. And I remember someone saying to me, Cicely, do not become a cardiac cripple. So I had to strengthen myself and tell myself, I am going to get over this. And I started doing all the things I had to do, avoiding the foods that I shouldn't eat, avoiding the salt, exercising. And now I think that I have made life choices. And every day I say to myself, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And that is my mantra that has taken me through. And that's another story about how that verse of the Bible became significant in my life. But, you know, every day I say, create in me a clean heart. And God has created a clean heart, along with all the doctors and everybody who was there for my surgery. And then I say to myself, what spirit do you want to renew in me today? And, you know, I take that through my life. Yes. So I think I'm a resilient person. And I say death has to come as a surprise. And, you know, I'm going to do everything in my power to stay alive, even if it is that I think positively that is not going to happen to me. Yeah. And I would admit that I was in denial, you know, I would go and get my blood pressure taken and it would be high and I would blame it on the machine. Something's wrong with the machine. It's not me, you know, use another machine. When I was going to the Heart and Stroke Foundation, I was telling them, you know, something wrong with y'all machines, man. My blood pressure can't be so high. And I realized that, yes, something was definitely wrong with me. Because since the heart surgery, my blood pressure is normally fairly well managed. And I have a very good blood pressure now. And as I say, with the exercise and the diet, I'm trying to live a healthy life.
Okay, thank you very much for sharing that experience. So I have a few questions to just throw out to our listeners again. Have you had any symptoms such as difficulty breathing or reduced exercise capacity, meaning that you can hardly exercise? And we heard our guest speak about being unable to walk up a hill or a simple mound of sand. Any pain in the upper abdomen or indigestion, commonly known in Barbados as gas? Have you had cold sweats? Because I remember, I think it was Miss King, Jackie, who was talking about the profuse sweating being that flag, that red flag for her. Any vague symptoms such as fatigue and anxiety can be as serious as chest pain. Now, if the pain or discomfort occurs in the throat, the center of the chest, the lower jaw or teeth, between the shoulder blades or in the arm radiating down to the wrist, you should discuss these with your medical doctor. And those tips were brought to you by Surveys Central America and the Caribbean, committed to therapeutic progress to serve patient needs. So we've been chatting with two ladies who have experienced different types, as it were, of cardiovascular disease. But I think most doctors would prefer that their patients never have to experience these symptoms and these consequences of suffering from heart disease. So this is where you come in, Dr. Soyombo. Your passion is about preventing, and as is Dr. Scantleberry's and mine, but we're talking with Dr. Soyombo this evening. So tell us, what are some of the things you want to drill into the hearts and minds of our listeners this evening?